Blog Talk Radio. and on WebSpaceTalkRadio.com via archived rebroadcast. I'm your host, Daria DiGiovanni. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. Tonight, I am honored to welcome two highly accomplished, upstanding patriots to the show to discuss an effort of critical importance to our nation and the preservation of our freedom. Some of you may remember the ABC docudrama, The Path to 9/11, a film that almost never aired at all, thanks to intense pressure from the Clinton administration, even after ABC complied with editing demands. Some of you may recall Rush Limbaugh discussing this at great length on his show back around the time of the controversy. I was fortunate enough to have seen it when it aired, considering the fact that it's never been rebroadcast nor made available for purchase in DVD format. And my guests who are joining me this evening are going to give us some insight into why that's occurred and on a new John Ziegler documentary, Blocking the Path to 9/11. You may recall John Ziegler's excellent work, Media Malpractice, How Obama Got Elected and Palin Was Targeted, which documented in explicit detail the mainstream media's concerted, abhorrent effort to get their guy Obama elected and to try and destroy Sarah Palin in the process, which we know on that second part they failed miserably, thank goodness. But that's another topic for another show. But without further ado, I want to tell you a bit about this, my guest this evening, Risa Warchick Kirkland, who also happens to be a longtime Facebook friend, and Mark Tapson. And I'm going to do this in their own words, so I hope Risa will bear with me as I try to read this very creative bio. You know her? The good love her. The evil fear her. So lead before she hears you. She's a rebel rouser, Zion backer, gun lover, warrior wonk, why I never offender, hater, racist, oppressor of brown people, Muhammad Crappin, esteem and pile of Allah. Want to see the cartoon? Blocked repeatedly by the hippie press, Islamunists, and miscellaneous cowards worldwide. Keith Olbermann's spook alley, prevaricator finder, Glenn Beck's favorite inner child, North Korea's first strike zone. No, seriously. Fatwa heavy, columnist, writer, speaker, military historian, the anti-feminist Risa, who also writes at Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, and I will ask her about her blog because I don't see it listed here, but she's a staunch supporter of Israel and for freedom, and I'm so excited to bring her on board tonight. She's also an accomplished writer and military historian. Writer-screenwriter Mark Tapson writes about the intersection of Hollywood and terrorism for Andrew Breitbart's websites, Big Hollywood and Big Peace, as well as David Horowitz's Front Page and Newsreel blog. He was the writer's assistant and researcher on, among other projects, The Stoning of Soraya M. and the controversial miniseries, The Path to 9/11. Mark is currently at work on a book and is writing a documentary for renowned terrorism expert Stephen Emerson. So let me go on. I believe both of them are on the line right now, so let me go ahead and bring them on. And Risa, beginning with you, are you on the line?
Yeah, do you hear me?
Oh, I can hear you great. How are you?
Oh, Daria, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, by the way.
Great. Oh, thank you for coming on. And Mark, are you also with us?
I am indeed.
Thank you so much for joining me tonight. I'm so excited to have you both on. This is such an important topic, and I'm just so glad you were both available on such short notice.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's wonderful. The more press on this, the better.
Oh, absolutely. Now, Risa, I first heard about this because you posted, you know, a couple weeks ago, I guess, or maybe about a month ago, on my Facebook page, and you started a group and petition, and I just wanted to ask you, you know, kind of tell our audience about that first, and then what you hope to accomplish with them.
Oh, well, I'll go ahead when I'm done explaining, and I'll post all the groups and the petitions down in the chat room, so that any listeners who just glanced down at the chat room should be able to see the links to go to them if they're interested. Actually, I had started corresponding with Cyrus Nowrafta several months ago. I was trying to get a radio show back up on after my divorce, and I've been a fan of his since I first saw The Path to 9/11, the one time it was shown – for the fifth anniversary of 9/11 in 2006. And I remembered vaguely the controversy on it, and I went to try to find it to buy it and couldn't. So I emailed him, and that's when he kind of reminded me of what went on, and I investigated a little further. At the same time, I was excited about his new film, The Stoning of Soraya M., and had been frustrated I couldn't find it in any theaters, and found out he was kind of facing the same thing with this one, not necessarily from the Clintons, but from the same side of the spectrum, the same politically castrated, that's what I call PC. I stopped calling it correct about 11 or 12 years ago, and from the politically castrated left. And I was stunned. Yeah. I couldn't believe in this day and age that censorship could just go on like this. And I corresponded with him a little bit more as time went on more. And then kind of the stoning of the Iranian woman came up a few months ago. You know, it's basically the Soraya M. story kind of all over again. And he was suddenly appearing on the news again, and I was all excited writing to him, and he was excited. And originally he was going to do a couple of the shows that we've been asked to do, but he's out of the country right now. Quite an interesting story. He originally, London, who has a huge Muslim population, would not allow the movie to be shown there when it premiered last year. And suddenly with the Iranian controversy all over again, they invited him, and he's heading over there to a premiere there, which I thought was exceptionally brave because there is a huge Muslim population, and there's going to be an outcry. And they are hardly the most disciplined and restrained people on earth. And I deeply admired him for that. And as I found this out, it just dawned on me, and I was kicking myself for not doing it sooner, why not start a group and a petition for the 10th next year and try to get something going. And I wrote and asked his permission because I didn't want to do anything against, you know, his wishes. And he thought it was a great idea. And he sent me two copies of the DVDs because that's the only way I could get them. And he also sent me a copy of the documentary about the docudrama called Blocking the Path to 9/11, which was made by John Ziegler. And I watched it, and I saw Mark Tapson, who I was aware of through Big Hollywood at Breitbart, and I really enjoyed his writing. So I asked him to be an administrator in it, and I twisted his arm, and he said yes. And he has been a boon of information because he was involved in the making of the Path to 9/11 and the documentary Blocking the Path to 9/11. He knows this stuff very well. He came on board. Our other administrator, Chris Yagers, who is a friend of Cyrus's, also came on board. And one mention of it at Big Hollywood, which Mark, bless him, was able to get done, the petition took off. The group now has almost 900 people. And as a result of that, we're starting to get some interviews because I realize you've got to understand, Disney was the one that kind of commissioned this docudrama to be made, and they have refused to rebroadcast it or release it on DVD because of the same pressure that tried to stop it from originally being aired, which was from the Clinton administration, even though it does not exactly paint the Bush administration in a really good light. It was the Clinton that got very upset and actually tried to stop it because you know, the CEO of Disney right now is a Clinton supporter and a Clinton fan. And I'm going to let Mark go into a little more details on that. But that's what started. I write military history and conservative commentary. I'm a fervent constitutionalist. And the fact that Disney is turning down $30 million, they were offered that for the distribution rights. That tells you right there, this is political intimidation. I have never heard of a movie company turning down millions and millions of dollars on something that cost them a lot of money to make.
Right. That's astonishing to me. Astonishing.
And it was. And so I've kind of really started pushing this, and Facebook has censored it now because apparently someone flagged it as abusive, as well as my own personal website. And, of course, we all know from Operation Cast Lead in 2008-2009, there is a network of Muslims and left-wingers that go around to places like Facebook and YouTube, and they flag everything as offensive. And if you remember during that war, they flagged the official IDF site that was showing films to the world, because Israel's always pounced on in these incidents, what was going on. And so Muslims went in and flagged it as offensive. And apparently Facebook and YouTube, their policy is pull it first, investigate later. And they ended up being humiliated and they had to restore it. But that's kind of what I'm facing right now with Facebook. Somebody, and I'm pretty sure I know who, flagged it as offensive. And while they investigate, I can't even email members of my own group and let them know what's going on. So we're facing the same censorship. Yeah, absolutely. All over again.
That is frightening. And, you know, and the left is really, they're useful idiots. And Mark, I'm going to bring you in here next to, you know, so you can tell the audience a little bit about you. But I find it highly ironic that on the day that Bill O'Reilly gets walked out on The View for daring to speak the truth that Muslims attacked us on 9/11, it's just very appropriate that we're all speaking this evening. But it's frightening how the left are just these willing accomplices, global jihad. Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved, and also just, you know, I'd love to hear more about the actual making of the path to 9/11 since you were involved in that as well.
What happened was back at probably the end of 2004, my good friend Cyrus Narasta, who is a writer and director, and he wrote the path to 9/11, and also, as Risa mentioned, the stoning of Soraya M., the movie from last year, which was about the which is based on a true story about the stoning of a woman who was falsely accused of adultery in Iran. He wrote and directed that, but as far as the path to 9/11 goes, he contacted me in late 2004 and said, look, ABC, Disney has asked me to write this miniseries about the attacks on 9/11, and I want to bring you on as my assistant and researcher and all that. And so we got involved in working on it. The miniseries, and I should stress this to your listeners, that the miniseries is a docudrama, as Rita said. It's not a documentary, and sometimes that people get confused about that. It's an historical drama, not a straight documentary. So just to make that clear, but we started writing this, and the story basically tells the historical thread from the first World Trade Center bombing in 1993 all the way up to the attacks on the morning of 9/11. And so it covers that whole span of time, almost all of which Bill Clinton was the president, right? So the miniseries basically highlighted some of the errors that the Clinton administration made in combating terrorism during the 90s, but it also pointed out that the Bush administration, for the short time it was in office, made some errors too. But even before the miniseries aired, the left, especially some Clinton administration alumni, got wind of the fact that Clinton might not look too good in this miniseries, and so they pulled out all the stops to suppress this thing, including defaming the filmmakers, Cyrus and David Cunningham, the director, with an internet smear campaign, which tried to make it sound as if this miniseries was a plot on the part of a conservative cabal of filmmakers in Hollywood, which is just ludicrous if you think about it. I mean, this was a nearly $40 million miniseries. I think at the time, and maybe still, it's the most expensive miniseries ever made. To think that a secret, you know, cell of conservatives in Hollywood could conspire to get a $40 million miniseries made is just ludicrous. I mean, liberals can't even do that. So anyway, the point was that it turned into a massive controversy. It was literally front page news even before it aired. Clinton administration alumni, including Harry Reid, who is, you know, the Senate Democratic leadership, tried to claim that this thing was defaming the Clintons and it was lying about their response to terrorism in the 90s. And they threatened to pull ABC's license if the miniseries aired. Now, this is astonishing. I mean, I'd never heard of this happening before. But they basically said, if you put this miniseries on, and you have to remember that no one had seen it at this point. The Democratic leadership and the left, they worked themselves into a frenzy over something they had not seen and didn't want anyone else to see either, for that matter. The miniseries very nearly did not air. We didn't know until the day of the airing whether it would go on or not, and it aired on September 11th and 12th, 2006. It aired then and has not aired since, and in fact, there is no DVD available of it because Bob Iger, who is the CEO of Disney, is good friends with the Clintons and wanted to make sure that this miniseries does not impact Hillary's future political career. So,
unreal.
It is unreal.
I'm getting so angry just listening to this.
Especially when you consider that this miniseries cost nearly $40 million. There were no advertisers. I mean, it was so controversial that the few advertisers that the miniseries had pulled out. So Disney and ABC made no money from advertisers for it, and they're not making a dime from DVDs. So basically they're taking a nearly $40 million bath on a product that there's a huge audience for and the distributors have made offers for. They won't even sell it, as Risa pointed out, they won't even sell it to other distributors to be made into DVDs. So there's clearly, you know, an effort of censorship going on here, which is just astonishing and ridiculous because, as I think I suggested before, that this was not a conservative stealth attack on the Clintons. It was basically just, you know, a look at the history from the World Trade Center bombing up to the World Trade Center attacks and how we got there. And it highlighted mistakes in both administrations. So it was, you know, the censorship is kind of an extreme response, but as you could tell from, you know, today's View episode with Bill O'Reilly, the left does not handle the truth very well.
Nope. No, they don't.
They basically want to take their ball and go home if you try to try to talk about these things. So anyway, that's it in a nutshell, basically.
Yeah, the tolerant left. And I just want to interject quickly and just say, I mean, I'm glad I saw the, you know, the film, the only time it was aired, and it was so well done. And Mark and Risa, clear, I do remember, and correct me if I'm wrong too. I remember that it was only after ABC made some edits that I believe the Clinton administration demanded that the film even, was allowed to go forward. Is that correct, or am I just not remembering?
No,
right?
You're remembering it right. That's correct. They objected specifically to a few scenes which they had, as I said already, they had not seen, but they'd gotten wind of. They objected to a few scenes that they felt really put Clinton administration people in a bad light, and so ABC ended up cutting somewhere around 30 seconds, I think. Just little snippets here and there. It wasn't more than 30 seconds or a minute that was cut out, and then basically it went on in that edited form. And you're right, it's a great piece of work. It really is a great miniseries. It's a shame that people aren't allowed to see it.
It's terrible, and I'll just let you know one other thing, and then, Risa, I want you to jump back in here, but I actually watched that with a friend of mine who I'll term, I believe, you know, she's a conservative Democrat. I mean, she was definitely supportive, you know, of the efforts with the war on terror, and we watched that together when that was on, and she actually remarked, she goes, I believe, you know, there were two scenes maybe where, you know, you saw Bill Clinton and the terrorists were, like, shooting at him, you know, like they wanted to kill him. And then there was a similar scene with George Bush. And my friend turned to me and said, see, it doesn't even matter who's president. They hate freedom. You know, they hate us. And I said, yeah, that's correct. So, I mean, that's just like a little sort of like an anecdotal thing to support what you're saying, that the film took to task both administrations. Now, in my personal opinion, I think Bill Clinton shares, more of the burden since he was in office. From 93 until George Bush took over in 2000 and, you know, handled it as a law enforcement matter. So, I mean, I think that case could be made, but certainly the film was even-handed in showing what happened and in dramatizing it in a factual way. Risa, did you want to come back in?
Yeah, well, that's what amazed me. You know, it did not skimp on showing how the Bush administration really dropped the ball because, I mean, it was very clear. So many were trying to sound the alarm, especially John O'Neill. His story is what really amazed me and how this was the most thorough accounting. It went all the way back to the original World Trade Center bombing in 93, and it followed it how he was tying all of this stuff together. It mentions the millennial bombing, which was thwarted because of John O'Neill and his work. And I think the most incredible moment, I mean, if you couldn't write this story, I don't think you would think of it, is that 3 weeks before 9/11, he had been forced to resign, and if you've seen, you know why, from the FBI, and he took the job as head of security at the World Trade Center and died in it. His nemesis, Osama bin Laden, actually got him, and it never had to be because he was on to his – I mean, that to me was just incredible. The man could not have done any more than he did. And I think I'm absolutely amazed at the opportunities they had to get bin Laden and the thorough gutlessness, the refusal to choose a side and make a decision by that administration, the fear of the fallout, which is inevitable. That's why you have the big job. You have to make those tough decisions. And the
exactly.
And remember, Mark brought up
called leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Mark brought up beautifully so on the last show we did, the whole Sandy Berger incident was related to this. And I'll let Mark cover that. He knows it far better than I did. But Sandy Berger committed a crime to try to help cover this up. And, I mean, it's just, it's amazing the amount of it. And now with Hillary making the noises, even thinking of running in 2012 against her own boss, I don't think she would, but the noises are definitely out there that she's considering it. I believe absolutely we're going to run up against opposition on this because look what poor Cyrus had to go against before. And, I mean, Mark, his own story was actually this convinced him. Because, Mark, I know that you've mentioned before you weren't even really that conservative or really – you were more of a Democrat at the time until you were just stunned at the anti-constitutional attitude of these people.
Basically – yeah, I wasn't conservative at all prior to 9/11. I was liberal. I wasn't on the far left, definitely not. But I basically considered myself liberal. And then 9/11 planted a seed of political change in me, as it did for countless other people, and a lot of people in Hollywood, too, for that matter. I know a lot of conservatives in Hollywood who, you know, they're what they call 9/11 conservatives, people who saw the light after 9/11. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and,
came out of the closet.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, 9/11 really sort of set me on a path, but it wasn't really until I started working on the miniseries and started researching the ideology and the history of our conflict with radical Islam. It wasn't until that I really dove in deep in that, and it just opened my eyes enormously. I mean, it really... In fact, I'd say that writing about the Islamic threat has become literally a daily passion of mine ever since then. So it had a major impact on me. But also, that also set me on the conservative path. But really, watching the reaction of the political left to the miniseries also opened my eyes in another way. It really made me realize that the radical left had become the mainstream left. And that I, as a the liberal that I had been, no longer fit in with that new with the new left. I realized that, as I said, the radical left had become the mainstream left, and that just pushed me completely into the conservative camp. When I saw the reaction, the hysterical, mean-spirited reaction of the left to this miniseries, that did it for me. So I've been on the right side ever since then.
Well, yeah, and yeah. I just wanted to mention what you were talking about about The View today. I made some posts on my Facebook page that it is amazing to me the left. They are so utterly inconsistent in what they claim to believe. And I'll give you an example. Whenever if a bunch of Nazis yelled Heil Hitler as they were committing an act of terrorism, those women would not have hesitated to call them Nazis. And if a bunch of Christians bombed an abortion clinic, they would not have hesitated to call
right.
them far-right Christian extremists. But what I saw there, and I'm actually angrier at Bill O'Reilly for handing his nuts over to political castration and apologizing.
Yeah.
What a
way to put it.
We do not apologize for telling the truth. And he was telling the truth. Their offense was he called them Muslims. Well, they were shouting extremism as they flew into the towers. They were shouting Allahu Akbar. They were telling the world who they were, why they were doing this, who sent them. And it was not Nazis. It was not Christian fundamentalists. It wasn't evil Israel. It was Muslims.
Nope.
And since when do we punish people for telling the truth? That is the consequence you give the liar, not the truth teller. Everything's asked backwards, and it's absolutely absurd. And I wanted to put something in here from a friend of mine. Maybe I'll just quickly read it, who's messaging me on Facebook. And he is a lifer, retired now in the Air Force, and he works as a contractor now, one of the most intelligent men I know. And he wrote, "It is important to note that when Clinton took office, Al-Qaeda was operating in approximately three countries. At the end of his tenure, they were operating in about 60. And that's an eight-year period. And this
wow.
man knows. This man knows. And then what he was on Mark's comment, he wrote on that, his best buddy in the world is indeed a 9/11 conservative. He was not interested in politics prior to that. He is African-American. I call him black because we don't believe in hyphenated Americans. And his family is virulently Democrat. He always leaned conservative, but he never committed. He couldn't commit until 9/11. And I think a lot of people in Hollywood felt that way because do you remember Tom Selleck in the 80s, how he became
yep.
utterly blackballed because he was very open about being a conservative? I mean, if that's how you make your living, you have to choose between what you believe and the almighty dollar. And Cyrus Nowrasta faces a particular difficulty because he is Persian. He's of Iranian descent. And we know that in Islam, the thing they consider even worse than a Jew is an apostate, somebody who doesn't toe the Islamic line, and he does not.
Yeah, and God bless him for that because you're right. I mean, he's putting his life at risk for speaking out, and I guess he also takes away the left's ability to play the race card as
oh,
well, which I'm sure they don't like.
Their favorite card of all. It just amazes me because I mean, the literal definition of someone who's racist is somebody who bases every decision. They look at everything through the race window. And have you ever noticed? On any discussion, on any argument, always the left brings up race. Always.
Oh, yes.
They'll be talking about Obama and they'll say, you're saying that because he's a black man. I've actually been on shows where I've said that, where I've said, I've noticed here and I've kept track that the only person to bring up race has been the, you know, the liberal. And then I'll keep track. And you brought it up, his ethnicity or race, 18 times in a five-minute discussion. How does that not make you the racist here? Not one conservative brought up anything other than his policy, his behavior. And you're the only one that keeps focusing on his race. Thereby, by definition, you are the racist here. Racism isn't just believing one group is superior. It's believing another group is inferior or owes another race something more. Look, we either believe in this sort of stuff of equality and freedom or we don't. And if our actions don't show it, where the hell do we get off claiming it?
Well, correct. And it's quite ironic. I never see them rushing to the defense, and we'll get back on track after this, but I just wanted to make this comment. I never see the left, like, rushing to the defense of somebody like Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, who happens to be, well, he's going to be my next congressman. He's running for Congress
it.
Down
yeah.
here in Florida 22. I don't see anyone running to his defense, or I believe it's Burns in South Carolina, you know, another black man running for Congress, you know, because they're conservatives. I mean, back when Lynn Swann ran for governor of Pennsylvania, I didn't hear anyone in the media saying, oh, isn't this wonderful? We have a, you know, in their words, African-American. I agree with you. I don't believe in the hyphenation either. You know, but in their words, you know, isn't it great that Lynn Swann, an African-American, is running for governor of Pennsylvania? Not a peep. And I just want to point out, you know, my entire family voted for Lynn Swann. Because they still live in Pennsylvania, and they did so not because he was black, but because they agreed with the conservatives.
Right.
He was a conservative. They believed in the principles. And
that's
you know what?
Right.
You know who did not vote for Lynn Swann were Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Scranton, but he overwhelmingly won in all the other parts of the state. So,
and that's
just
the hypocrisy, yeah, of the left, is that what they really mean is a communist black. Because I was a supporter of Alan Key's presidential campaign in 2004. I voted for him in both primaries, and you should have heard what the liberal black left had to say about him. And I'm like, he's a black man running for president. And then sure enough, they validated it when they could not. I was disappointed in a few conservatives who fell for that crap, saying, well, I wanted to be part of history and vote for the first black man. And I went, wow, you're voting for the most powerful office on earth based on race. Now, back in the 1930s, if you took a black and white picture, I'm often saying this, today we have that exact same print, only we're looking at the negative. The racism of so-called Southern Democrat whites back then, and they were mostly Democrats, against blacks is now the negative. All we did was change which side it's okay to be biased against. That's it. And now it's become the Muslims, too. I mean, Pamela Geller and Robert Spencer, they're good friends of mine.
Oh, they're wonderful.
5 or 6 years now. They're wonderful. What they're going through because of the mosque controversy, and they're dead on, and they're right, where's anyone coming to them for having the right? You know how many – I'm a Mormon broad, and you know how many times we have had to move churches or temples because the community didn't want it there. We accept that. We go by majority rule because it's right. And so there is an absolute, not just double standard, but absolute iron-fisted one standard, and it seems to be because we say so. And that's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now Mark, in the new documentary, Blocking the Path to 9/11, are you guys facing the same kinds of obstacles? Are you still facing a sustained political, you know, politically-based pressure?
No, actually, and I'm glad you brought that up. Blocking the Path to 9/11 is, as you said, is a documentary that John Ziegler put together, radio host John Ziegler. It's actually a year or two old. It's not brand new. It's been out a year or two. And it basically covers the whole controversy surrounding the Path to 9/11, and it does it brilliantly. It's really an entertaining and outrageous documentary. I think a lot of people think, oh, documentaries are boring and this is certainly not the case with this documentary. Everyone that I've ever seen who has viewed this is just outraged by it because
Now, how can people get a hold of it? Is this available, the Blocking the Path to 9/11 on DVD?
I think we lost him. I put it up in your chat room, Daria, at theblockingthepath.com. I think they can also get it through Netflix and Amazon, but the fastest way would probably go, that's John Ziegler's site, is Blocking the Path. And John faced a great deal of controversy for it as well. And hopefully he's coming back, I think. Mark, are you there?
Let me check my switchboard. Let me see.
Right.
Yeah, let me check the switchboard. You know, it felt like there was some interference, and you know when he dropped off the switch.
I think
he'll call back.
Is he coming?
Yeah. It looks to me like he probably hung up and is going to call back in because I'm looking at the switchboard right now and he went off. So hopefully he'll be back on.
John Ziegler really went after this hard. He was fantastic. And originally we wanted to – he was on a show on Tuesday night, the Christy Kelly show, and we're going to try to get him on some other shows because I'll tell you – he really was treated poorly for pursuing this like he did, but like Mark and like myself and like Cyrus, look, we either believe in the truth or not. And if we fear the truth, we really are going to lose the truth, and we're going to be stuck with nothing but lies. And that's not acceptable. How can that possibly be acceptable? And one of the comments I've gotten from people who have joined the group or signed the petition when they wanted to know more is, when they, there's a young woman, a college student, and I've put the link up in your chat room, youtube.com/bluereckless. She videotaped that when it came out, because like I said, it's never been sold on DVD. And she videotaped it, and she uploaded it painstakingly, the entire thing, to her site at YouTube. And they're between 6 to 10 minutes long, so it takes quite a bit of time to get through them. And another person even put out the segment that was cut out, that the Clintons insisted be cut out. And there's also a video there about blocking the path, a short little trailer that shows you about it, and it shows Mark and several other people being interviewed for it. And it's absolutely fantastic what she did, and she joined the group. So it is actually there.
That's wonderful.
It is, but it's the only
let me just interject here. I think we got Mark back on the line,
Just
go ahead and bring him in. Sorry. But you know what? I applaud her for that, and I'm going to check that out and encourage everyone else to. Hey, Mark, are you back with us?
I'm back. How long was I disconnected? Because I rambled for quite a while. So if no one stops me, I just keep. If no one stops me, I just keep talking. So
that was great. You know, it sounded like there was some interference, and I don't know if it was a BTR issue or what have you. But I'm glad you're back with us now.
Glad to be back.
Mark, I was just telling them about a lot of the opposition Ziegler went through, and about how he was determined, like you and Cyrus, that, you know, even if the truth is uncomfortable, our obligation is to truth, not comfort, and stuff like that. And about how many people, I was about to say, were stunned at the story of Massoud, who tried so hard to stop Bin Laden. Reagan loved him. He loved Reagan. He actually was our friend and ally. And he was killed 2 days before 9/11, and he told the undercover, the CIA agent working with him, if they kill me, that'll be your sign that they're coming for you. And he had heard the rumors and tried to warn, something's going on, it has to do with planes, and they're planning a hit, and it won't be outside of America. And he looked at Kirk, who was the guy who was a kind of a combination of different agents put together, and told him, you know, you know where it'll be, and you instantly know he's talking about America. He died 2 days before 9/11, and he had told Kirk that would be the signal, and 2 days later we got hit. I mean, this man tried for years to defeat Bin Laden himself, and the money that we were trying to give over there to fight Al-Qaeda, he was intercepting. Everyone knows Pakistan's been dirty for years, and now suddenly everyone's stunned, so we know a lot of it was coming from there. Just the continuous dropping the ball on our end and believing the lies of enemies who had proven to be enemies. Massoud, one of my favorite lines, and John Ziegler, when he was on the radio, every night he would sign off with this line, and it was from Massoud. When they had the chance to get Bin Laden, and none of them in the Clinton administration had the nabs to make the call. In case it went bad, they didn't want to get Janet Reno'd. And he turned to Kirk and he said, are there any men left in Washington, or are they all cowards? And what can you say to that? Clearly they were cowards.
Well, you know, this just emboldens our Islamic enemy when we don't respond, when we don't respond appropriately to Islamic attacks. I mean, you can go all the way back to the hostage situation in Iran under Carter. Carter's response was just completely ineffectual. And then if you fast forward a little bit, and Reagan did nothing after the bombing in Beirut that wiped out a couple of hundred American soldiers. Then, you know, I could name several instances under Clinton, the Clinton administration, when we basically cut and ran after being attacked, like the famous, or maybe I should say infamous, Black Hawk Down incident. And bin Laden has pointed specifically to some of these incidents, like the Black Hawk Down incident, and said, this proves that America's military is a paper tiger.
If
you make one American bleed, they all go home.
They'll run.
I would correct him and say that it's not the military, it's our feckless politicians in Washington who are the cowards.
But bin Laden's point is essentially that, you know, if you, you know, the Americans will cut and run, and that has emboldened our enemy. And now, look, you know, under Obama, we've had more, there have been more terrorist attacks or plots disrupted in the first year since Obama was in office than in any year since 2001. So they are.
They smell blood in the water.
That's exactly right. They smell blood in the water. There's an Arab saying that goes, a falling camel attracts many knives, and that says a lot.
It sure does. And Mark, I have to ask you, because we talked about all the pressure from the Clinton administration. Now, did you ever get the same kind of pressure from the Bush administration for even, you know, because they were not portrayed in the best light either? And again, the film just basically tells the truth. But did you ever hear from anyone from the Bush administration?
Absolutely nothing. We heard nothing from the Bush administration or from conservative politicians or from conservative blogosphere. Absolutely nothing. And in fact, we didn't hear anything even from the Islamists about the past 9/11. Betsy Narasta, Cyrus's wife, she's interviewed in Blocking the Path, and John Ziegler asked her that question. You know, did you hear any complaints or receive any threats from Muslim terrorists or Islamists? And she said no, because basically they didn't need to. The Democrats were doing their dirty work for them.
For them, yeah. Exactly. That was an amazing moment to me. That was just amazing to me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and I could point to an example of Harry Reid in 2007, since we brought him up earlier, saying this war is lost while our guys are out there fighting the war. I mean, just absolutely despicable.
Mm-hmm.
My sons had to ice me down on that one, I tell you. In a time of war. In a time of war. Could you imagine in World War II? Oh, this is unwinnable. Let's just go. We can all learn Japanese or German or whichever.
But they would use our soldiers as political pawns. It's just disgusting to me. Just to placate their far left base. Well, and as Mark, as you pointed out, it really isn't far left anymore. It's just kind of the left. In general, it's very frightening. And you know, I mentioned Alan West. I mean, I went to a debate with him. He debated the Democratic incumbent Ron Klein the other day. You know, and he made the exact same point about, you know, about political correctness. And he also mentioned, and I know this is kind of getting a little bit away from our topic, but he noted that there are passenger flights now from Iran to Venezuela. And that do not have passengers on them, and he's very upset about this sort of unholy alliance, I guess, between Iran and you know, between Chavez and Ahmadinejad, which I don't think will surprise anyone on this phone call.
Absolutely, and actually, my area of expertise, North Korea and communism, and people are like, so when they find that out, they're surprised. How did you come to this? You know why? About 12 years ago, in their only state-run newspaper, when it first started coming online regularly around, I guess, 99, 2000, I would go check it out every day. And I started saying, if you want to pay attention to this, there are people from Iran, Pakistan, Libya, they're going to North Korea, and they're supposedly trading farming secrets. Now, when I think of food production, my first thoughts are North Korea, Iran, Pakistan, and Libya. And if you can't tell, that was just ass-deep sarcasm. But I knew immediately, there's no way they're trading secrets. And I knew immediately about H.U. Khan, who was pretty much had stolen from UNESCO all the military secrets and on nukes, brought them to Pakistan, And then I thought, oh, my gosh, Pakistan is giving them North Korea. North Korea is giving them to Iran and Libya because the boots on the ground, my military friends over in Korea had started telling me in 96, Reese, tell everybody, we don't know why our country's not saying this. North Korea have nukes. They have nukes. And there are Middle Eastern men over here giving it to them. And sure enough, that's exactly what had happened. And there were all these planes from Iran, from Libya, from Pakistan, going back and forth, Koreans over there and Middle Easterners over there. And that's when I started to say, I think that there is almost a Hitler-Stalin, they hated each other too, non-aggression pact going on here, where, yes, people would say, no, one's secular, one's religious. And I said, yeah, but evil seeks out evil. They are both totalitarian regimes.
Yes.
And they both believe in enforcement by will, no free will, no choice, no freedom, do as we say or die. And besides, Hitler and Stalin did that while they divided up Europe between them. They both intended to eventually turn on the other one. Hitler beat Stalin to it, stunned Stalin. And I said, I believe absolutely, the evidence is there, this is what we have now, that communism and Islam are forming, and when you said unholy alliance, one of my first articles, that was the title, an unholy alliance here, because they both believe in this. And I said, communism, I don't think will have any problem achieving with jihad what it failed to achieve with a Cold War. And finally, about a year ago, and all my friends mocked and laughed, and about 4 months ago, a friend who had done that wrote to me, found me on Facebook, and said, how does it feel to hear everything you were saying 10, 12 years ago validated pretty much every week on Fox News and CNN? And I said, it feels like you owe me an apology for making fun of me. And, of course, I meant it tongue-in-cheek. And he said, I know. One of the reasons I haven't written you sooner is I'm ashamed. Because he said you laid it out with all the facts, everything, but we just could not get past the religion secular thing. And the fact of the matter is, Islam is insidious because they know when it comes to religion, we hesitate because that's one of our foundational principles. And they absolutely will use religion because Nazis use socialism, Stalin used communism. So they thought, well, yeah, we're communists because they believe in force, no free will. But let's call it a religion, and that will cause them to hesitate just long enough. And so just because the word religion is attached does not change what it is. It absolutely doesn't. And that's why I call it not Islamofascism, because it's not. It's Islamunism, because their allies are all communists. Islam's allies and supporters are all communists.
Frightening. You guys, we're running a little low on time, but Mark, I want to ask you also about the stoning of Soraya M, because I haven't been able to see that yet, so I'm hoping that I can still get this on DVD or watch it somewhere. But, I mean, I've read just nothing but glowing reviews about the film. But, you know, because this deals with the true story of the stoning of an Iranian woman, did you run into the same kind of roadblocks? I mean, what was the reaction to that?
You know, we didn't really run into any roadblocks. I mean, you know, Iran is very upset about the film. They have banned it. Of course, they've banned practically every Western film, but they, you know, reserved some special criticism for the stoning of Soraya M. And a lot of the leftist critics, of course, denounced it because, oh, it makes all Iranians look bad or all Muslims look bad, which is ridiculous. But that's the excuse that they always fall back on. It is a really good, it's a great piece of work. Cyrus is just an amazing writer and director. He actually co-wrote this thing with his wife, Betsy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's available, it's not been suppressed. It's available on DVD, you know, you can get it from Amazon or whatever. It's a strong film to watch. I mean, it's very unsettling to watch because the stoning sequence is fairly graphic, but if you've seen anything, if you've seen a real stoning or even brief little clips of a real stoning, it's nothing like the real thing. So it's a difficult film to watch, but it's one that people must watch, and it's a great story.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it. I know I'm going to have a hard time watching it, but at the same time, it's one of those films that everyone should watch. And Reese, I need to bring you back again for another show because this reminds me, and I want to, you know, another time I want to talk about the hypocrisy of the so-called feminists. Because
right.
where
oh,
are they?
Yeah.
When
right.
women are suffering real oppression and real injustice,
mm-hmm.
they are stone cold silent, no
that's
pun intended. But, you know,
it's terrible. You wrote a book about this, Stone Cold Silence. That would be a good name for it.
There you go, because, I mean, I just think that's another extension of the same, you know, same argument that we're making about
right,
the left.
Right.
And it's just completely hypocritical and just immoral, in my opinion.
It is, and you know what? I know it's not always comfortable, but our obligation is to truth, not comfort. And truth does not always come with nice words and pretty pictures, but it is still the truth.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it says a lot about the left that they spend more time criticizing the film, The Stoning of Soraya M., than they do criticizing actual stoning, which still exists in Iran. And not just in Iran,
yeah.
but anywhere where Sharia law is firmly entrenched, like Nigeria or Saudi Arabia or Iran, wherever, now in Indonesia, other places,
yes.
stoning takes place.
Yes.
And
yeah. And not only that, you know, genital mutilation and honor killings and beheadings and all kinds of horrendous.
Yeah, isn't that what Ayaan Hirsi Ali from over in the Netherlands, she had to go through that, and her story is so graphic, the female genital mutilation. I was disturbed for days when I read it. And I honestly think that the left thinks if you don't see it, because they know the reaction you will have if you witness the truth, if you don't see it, they can keep it more quiet. And like you said a few minutes ago, Daria, they can't tolerate the truth, so they must shut it up. And they must use the Khrushchevian, the communist tactic of cause an overwhelming emotional response, which is why they always bring up race, because it triggers an emotional response, because that
mm-hmm.
temporarily disarms the logic center of the brain. And if you can do that, you can get someone to do what they wouldn't normally do in a state of logic. And that's what we saw, isn't it, during the Obama campaign? No logic, no truth, pure emotion.
No potent change. No, yep,
right.
You're so right.
And I just wanted to mention real quick, my military friend, he said that when comments like Reed and others are uttered, they were blasted all over the Middle East. From Al Jazeera and Al Arabia, it resulted in increased resolve and more death of our servicemen and women back when those were uttered. And he is so dead on. I mean, can't he be tried for doing that against our men? I can't believe it when he said that.
It's absolutely outrageous, and I'm really pulling for Sharon Engel to...
Yes, Sharon. And I want you to know that Guy is a huge West supporter like I am. He adores West, and so do I.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. Go ahead, Mark. You want to get the last word here?
Wow.
I'll become Bill O'Reilly for a moment. No.
I guess all that I would really want to say for the last word is just I urge people to seek out these films that we've been talking about, The Stoning of Soraya M., the Blocking the Path to 9/11 documentary, which is fascinating. And also, get onto Risa's website, or not her website, but the iPetition website, and sign this petition to try to pressure Disney to release, not only to release a DVD of Path to 9/11, but to air it again on this coming 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah.
So, anybody who can, you know, if you really want to make a difference, here's one way you can do it, is to try to sign this petition and force Disney to respond to public pressure.
Right, absolutely. And I have all the links up in chat, but it's, you know, in case people aren't watching the chat, my website is americaswarchick.blogspot.com. The links to the Facebook group, the petition, blockingthepath.com, all of those links are right there, and including Mark Tapson's Big Hollywood link, so you can keep up with his writings, too. They are all
excellent.
At my website, so you can just go there and find them.
Excellent, guys. Well, thank you both so much for joining me. We're just out of time, and come back again soon, because I definitely love to continue the conversation.
Oh, you bet. We loved it.
Thanks again for having me.
You bet.
Thank you.
Bye.